If you have followed any of the news late this spring about Mount Everest, you realize that it has been a very dangerous and fatal place to be this past spring, as at least 11 climbers have died in trying to reach the summit of that peak. And as it happens, most deaths in mountain climbing come not on the way up, but on the way down. A couple summers ago, I was climbing Mount Rainier with my youngest daughter, who is a professional mountain guide, and she said to me, "Dad, do you think you have enough in the tank, enough strength and fortitude to get to the top?" We had about 3,500 feet to go. And I said, "Yeah, I can make it to the top." She said, "Dad, do you have enough in the tank to get back down again safely?" I said, "No. I know I could get to the top, but I would be completely and totally spent at that moment." And she said, "Well, Dad, we're going to call this our summit, and we're going to head back down." That's part of what mountain climbing is all about, is not just getting to the top, but completing the journey and getting back down again safely. And the Christian life is not just about receiving Jesus Christ, but continuing in Him until the end. And the real mountaintop is when we see Jesus come again for us, whether He's coming in the clouds of glory or whether He comes through our own physical death on this earth. One day we will stand before Him, and will He say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," or, "Be gone, depart from me, I've never known you"? We need to persevere to the end. This section of scripture we're going to look at today gives us a warning against falling away from Jesus Christ. Let me give you another illustration from our mountain climbing experience. Quite a few years ago now, we had climbed two mountains in succession. We had climbed Mount Baker in the North Cascades, close to Canada, in Washington State. We came down from that, and we finished climbing a second peak close to it, Mount Shuckson. And we were coming down from that. We were pretty exhausted. And as I mentioned, most accidents, most climbing deaths happen not on the way up, but on the way down, when you're spent and exhausted and lose focus. And so we were coming down, and we'd gotten down the most difficult part of the mountain, but still the trail, parts of it dropped off precipitously on one side. And my daughter Julia was walking at one of those points, and she noticed a beautiful wildflower growing in the crags of the rock up here. And she stepped up onto a rock and began to take a picture of that. And I could see her just about ready to step back down again onto the trail. And I said, "Julia, just remember where you are. The first step backward you take is 1 foot down. The second step backwards is 500 feet down. Just take that first step and then make sure you're on the trail." I mentioned last week about a couple that were taking their picture at the edge of a sheer cliff at Yosemite National Park. And nobody was there to see it. Their camera was found by some hikers the next day, but they had fallen 2,000 feet to their death. They were too close to the edge and didn't take enough caution to keep themselves from falling away. Interestingly, the woman that died had published a post online not long before that. She was at the Grand Canyon, standing at the edge of a sheer cliff, taking a selfie. And she commented about that picture. When you're doing this sort of thing, you have to be very careful, because even a sudden gust of wind can be fatal. Well, her words were prophetic in a very tragic way. Today I want to have us heed the warning of Scripture not to get too close to the edge. And a lot of us want to live life right on the edge of the Christian life instead of going up higher and into the safety of a loving relationship with Jesus Christ. And that is a call to maturity. And our message today is to press on to maturity. It comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. And the New American Standard Version said, "Let us press on to maturity." And so let's take a look at that today and heed the warning of Scripture from Hebrews chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. And I would invite you to open your Bibles up. I think it's going to be much easier if you have that in front of you. And if I lose you, it's easier to figure out where I am. And we're going to be looking at a few other passages in Hebrews. But turn to those pages. If you don't have a Bible of your own, take the one in the pew rack in front of you and you'll find that page number printed in your bulletin. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, I read in Jesus' name. "Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity," or press on to maturity, "not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death," literally from dead works, "and of faith in God, instructions about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment." Verse 3, "and God permitting, we will do so. It is impossible for those who have once been enlightened and who have tasted the heavenly gift and who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age, if they fall away, to be brought back to repentance." Let me tighten up that sentence a little bit. Starting with verse 4, it says, "It is impossible for once having been enlightened and tasted the heavenly gift and shared in the Holy Spirit and have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age, if they fall away, to be brought back to repentance, because to their loss they are crucifying the Son of God all over again, subjecting him to public disgrace. Land that drinks in the rain often falling on it and that produces a crop useful to those for whom it is farmed receives the blessing of God. But land that produces thorns and thistles is worthless and in danger of being cursed. In the end, it will be burned. Even though we speak like this, dear friends, we are confident of better things in your case, things that accompany salvation. And God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. We want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end in order to make your hope sure. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, help us to hear your word, and Father, to take it to heart, and by your grace, and by your power, to live our lives in fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ, continuing to grow in him, to mature in him, and Lord, not to be in danger of falling away from you, but to persevere in our walk with you until you call us home and we'll be with you in glory. And so, Father, teach us what all that means and how you might accomplish that in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Grab your insert and follow along. First point is the call to maturity. And we have that in verse 1. "Let us therefore leave these elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity." And last week we talked about maturity in Jesus Christ in Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. Paul says, we proclaim Christ, warning and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. And in some translations, that word is to be perfect in Christ. And don't understand that to be faultless in our performance. No, it comes from a word that has to do with our goal. When we grow mature, we're getting closer to the goal of being like Jesus Christ, because that is God's purpose for us. In Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And in verse 29 of Romans chapter 8, we have that purpose. For whom God foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son. That's Jesus. God's purpose for our lives is to become more and more like Jesus. It is the purpose of this church to share the good news of salvation in Christ with every person and to build mature followers of Jesus. It's not just that we bring people into fellowship with Jesus, but that they grow also to maturity. Coming to know Jesus Christ is a mountaintop experience. It is great. But we need to get safely home to heaven and not fall along the way. And so let's see how we do that. So first of all, press on to maturity. It reminds me of what the Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippians in Philippians chapter 3. He says, well, not that I've already obtained all this or already been made perfect. That is, not that I've already reached the goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus has taken hold of me. I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on to the goal, to the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Jesus Christ. Get safely home there. Don't fall along the way. Press on toward the goal, and the goal is to become more and more like Jesus. We heard that this morning in Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 13 says, we want to continue to be growing until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Jesus Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching. We want to be growing up in Jesus. If you turn back a little bit to Hebrews chapter 5, the end of Hebrews chapter 5, it's the lead-in to Hebrews chapter 6, it tells us this: although Jesus was a son, he learned obedience from the things he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation. Did you know that Jesus had to be perfected? You think, wasn't he perfect to start with? Well, yes, in an untested way, but he had to prove that. That means he lived it out by perfectly keeping God's commandments and his laws in our place to perfectly fulfill the purpose for which God sent him into the world, which included suffering and dying for us. And it is through what he has suffered that he's been made perfect in order for him to become the source of salvation to us. And so if we want to get a picture of what our goal is, we look to Jesus. He's the goal. He's the standard of maturity. He's what God made us to be. He wants us to be more and more like the loving, kind, and compassionate, and patient, and faithful, and joyful. You ever think of Jesus as being joyful? Oh yes, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Joyful and kind Savior that we have. So continue to look to Jesus, and that's another theme throughout Hebrews, and I won't get into that today. But it says that Jesus, having been made perfect, became to those who obey him the source of eternal salvation, being designated by God as a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. And that's a whole other teaching within Hebrews, and it's kind of a complicated one. So the author of Hebrews says, well, concerning him, we have much to say, and it is very hard to explain since you have become dull, literally slow of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. That means the messages of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. Remember, Paul says, and we don't want to be like infants being tossed back and forth because of every wind of teaching, of doctrine. But solid food is for the mature, who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good from evil. And so the first mark of maturity here is to having our senses, our spiritual minds and hearts attuned to God's word. It's called a word of righteousness, so that we know this is the right way. Walk in it. Don't go this way, because it will lead us away from Jesus Christ. And having become so accustomed to hearing God's voice through the word of God that we know good from evil. And back in chapter 3, it says, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts, but instead let's press on to the goal of becoming mature in Jesus Christ. You know, it mentioned that Jesus became a high priest for us. A high priest is the one who brings petitions to God on our behalf, and that's what Jesus is doing, praying for us. Back in John 17, which is Jesus' high priestly prayer for his disciples and for us, Jesus said this. He prayed this to the Father. I do not ask for these only, that is, the disciples who are there in the room with him. I don't ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That's us. Through the word of the apostles, we now have come to believe in Jesus. And this is what he prays for us, that they may be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I and them and you and me, that they may become perfectly one. That's the same word about Jesus becoming perfect. The goal is that we also together as believers would become one with Jesus and God the Father, that we would have this incredible unity that we can't even imagine what that's going to look like or feel like in heaven, because one day we will be with him in this incredible unity. We're not going to become God. That's not the issue. But we are going to become united in him in such a way that we will experience the fullness of his joy, the fullness of his peace, just the fullness of all of him, that we may be filled fully with God. And it's going to be an experience that we can't even imagine. I've had some ecstatic experiences. I mean, I've been on the top of mountains, and heaven is going to be something so much greater than the best experience you've ever had on this earth. So Jesus is praying that we would come to that maturity, and that maturity is not just knowing his word of righteousness, but experiencing him in our lives. And we have Jesus in us when we come to put our faith in Jesus Christ, when we receive him as our Savior and Lord. We are receiving him through the Holy Spirit come to live in us. And that Spirit of God creates a new spiritual being in us. And we need to grab hold of that just real quickly here before we go on to the next part. So the first part is the call to maturity. He's calling us to be mature in Jesus Christ, to become more and more like Jesus Christ. That process isn't going to be completed this side of heaven, but we want to keep pressing on, going on to maturity, going on deeper and deeper in our understanding and experience of living with Jesus Christ. And the second is to the warning against falling away. It's a severe warning. Verse 4 says, it is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, and who have tasted the goodness of God's word and the powers of the coming age, if they fall away, it's impossible to be brought back to repentance. Now, we need to understand this. This is not a casual falling away. It is a permanent falling away. It is a falling away that is complete and total and irrevocable. What does that mean? Well, our own catechism warns us that if we don't heed the voice of the Holy Spirit calling us back onto the path, continuing to call us into fellowship with Jesus Christ, we may become so hardened that we no longer desire Jesus or his salvation. That becomes the unforgivable sin. Not that we have stumbled and have tripped and have fallen, but we get back up and we come back to in repentance and faith to Jesus, but it is with our dying breath to publicly and completely renounce our faith in Jesus Christ. I want to say this very clearly. The warning here is not a warning that you can lose your salvation, but it is a warning against rejecting the salvation you have in Jesus Christ. Don't live so close to the edge that you're going to be falling away from Jesus in a way that is complete and irrevocable. It is impossible. If they fall away, to be brought back to repentance. The word there is to be renewed again, impossible to renew them to repentance. And that's the same word when we become a new creature in Christ. For anyone who's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. We can't become new again. If we reject having fully received this new life in Jesus Christ, and then we say, forget it. Jesus Christ, he's a fraud. And publicly putting Jesus to shame because, yes, I knew Jesus Christ, but I don't need him. Wow. Don't ever do that. We can't become new again. That's what it means here. And so it's not losing your salvation because you've committed some sin. It is so grieving the Holy Spirit, so hardening our hearts that we no longer desire Jesus Christ or his salvation. But the warning is, don't live on the edge. Don't go too close to the edge that you might fall. Instead, what does it say? It says to persevere. I'm not going to do the verses there about the field, the cultivated field. Maybe I will just quickly there. It contrasts two fields. The rain falls on it. They receive the same kind of rain. One grows a crop, the other grows thorns and thistles. Jesus himself warned that we ought to be the kind of soil that is fruitful and not to fall away from him by the cares of this world or being choked out by the problems we face or the temptations we face or the persecutions we may face, but instead to persevere to the end. And so, beginning with verse 9, it says, even though we speak like this, dear friends, we are confident of better things in your case. The author is concerned for these Hebrews, but he says, look it, guys, I'm confident. Having been warned, you're going to continue on as you have been doing, as they've been living out their lives, working and loving the people of God, continuing to serve God by the power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 11, we want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end in order to make your hope sure. one of the climbers who died on Mount Everest, had reached the top and was on his way down, and apparently his oxygen tank was malfunctioning. And one of the Sherpas with him tried to give him his own oxygen, but he was too depleted, and he died right there, coming down just 100 feet from the top of Mount Everest on the way down. Just became depleted. And it's saying, don't be depleted and so fall away. We don't want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what is promised. God has a wonderful promise for us. And Jesus Christ is going to keep us to the end. Just don't reject Jesus. Don't be living on the edge. In Jude chapter verses 24 and 25, there's only one chapter in Jude, it says, to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forevermore. That's a praise. And we need to praise God that he can keep you from falling. He can keep you to present you in his presence faultless because Jesus Christ has already died for us. And so when we sin, when we do falter, and when we do stumble, we know we can come back in repentance, and we need to do that. And if we harden our hearts and just refuse repentance, we may come to that point where we have fallen completely away. And that's the warning here. Don't fall completely away, but continue to persevere with Jesus Christ because Jesus is holding on to you. He's not letting you go. Don't push away from him. He's grabbing hold of you, and he's going to keep you from falling. Firm to the end as we continue in faith with him. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, help us to see the severity of this warning. Lord, not to ever give up on you, because you're not going to ever give up on us unless we absolutely and permanently refuse your forgiveness, refuse the salvation in Jesus Christ, and so publicly mock you in a way that is irrevocable, permanent. Oh, Lord, let us never come to that point. Instead, Lord, let us continue on. Let us press on to become mature in Jesus Christ. Let us continue on in the works of love that you work in us by faith in Jesus, that we would continue on by the Holy Spirit living in us, renewing us daily, perfecting us, O Lord. So, Lord, continue to draw us daily to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.